Incident on the Golden Gate Bridge, southbound 101 at the toll plaza, where a flatbed truck hit the toll booth. I'm Steve Herrera for KQED.
Thanks, Steve. Traffic support comes from Murphy McKenna Construction. Support for KQED comes from Xfinity, offering wall-to-wall Wi-Fi coverage throughout the house with Xfinity. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary. Summitry, offering wealth management engineered for life in the Bay Area, celebrating 20 years of helping clients maximize opportunities like concentrated stock positions and RSUs. More at summitry.com. Stay informed with KQED's award-winning podcast, The Bay, a local news show about what's really going on here in the Bay. Host Erica Cruz Guevara shows you the messy and resilient culture of this place we call home. Listen to The Bay wherever you get your podcasts, or listen at kqed.org/thebay. Sandy Althaus on KQED-FM San Francisco, KQEI-FM North Highlands, Sacramento, 4 p.m.
From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Letson. Holly Irwin moved with her family to Western Arizona to enjoy the outdoors and go off-roading in the great Sonoran Desert.
We can take trails that'll take us through mountain passes and canyons. You can just keep going for miles.
Look at Mama go.
Then huge corporate farms moved in and started to use up the groundwater.
I was like, this is bad.
Wells were running dry.
These people come in here, drain the aquifer, and you say that's perfectly legal?
So Holly decided to fight back.
She's sort of the Aaron Brockovich of water in Arizona.
I hate being told there's no solution.
Today on Reveal, a water grab in the desert. But first, this news.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. Thousands of people demonstrated across Israel today following the news of the rescue of four hostages earlier in the day in an Israeli military operation that killed more than 200 Palestinians. And as Sadil Al-Shalchi reports, many gathered to celebrate the rescue and send the government a message.
In Hostage Square in the heart of Tel Aviv, thousands of people listened to speeches from the families of some of the Israeli hostages who were taken by Hamas on October 7th. But even though news broke earlier in the day that four hostages were rescued in a military operation, the mood wasn't exactly joyous. Rodin Katz said he was at home when he heard the news, but it was a bittersweet feeling.
We could have done much more. Not now, 8 months after, we could have done it on the first or second or third weeks.
Katz blamed Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's government for not doing enough to get the rest of the hostages out. On Israel's count, there are still 120 hostages in Gaza, about a third of whom are believed to be dead. Hadil Al-Shalchi, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
Fresh from commemorating the 80th anniversary of D-Day and praising the World War II veterans, French President Emmanuel Macron welcomed President Biden in Paris today for a state visit that included talks about trade, the Middle East, and Ukraine.
We see it in Ukraine, where our two countries are standing with the Ukrainian people as they fight off Putin's brutal aggression. And yesterday, I announced $225 million in new security assistance to Ukraine, and it's the sixth package we've provided since we signed the national security legislation earlier this year.
Biden says the EU has provided more than $107 billion in assistance to Ukraine since Russia invaded, and he says all of Europe is threatened if Russia wins. Biden says the U.S. stands strong with Ukraine, its allies, and France. Tonight, the Bidens are being honored with a state dinner at the French presidential palace. The corruption trial for Democratic Congressman Henry Cuellar has been delayed until next year, well after Election Day. Texas Public Radio's Jerry Clayton has more.
Federal Court Judge Lee Rosenthal, who was appointed by George H.W. Bush, made the decision to delay the trial, granting a request by both the prosecution and defense. The trial, initially scheduled for July, is now set to begin with jury selection on March 31, 2025, after the election. Cuellar is running to keep his seat in Texas' 28th Congressional District, which is a competitive battleground where Republicans have spent millions of dollars to unseat him. Cuellar is alleged to have received and laundered bribes from the government of Azerbaijan through a Mexican bank. Cuellar denies the allegations of bribery and money laundering. I'm Jerry Clayton in San Antonio.
And you're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Live from KQED News, I'm Azul Dahlstrom-Ekman. The antiviral drug Paxlovid shows no clear signs of helping patients with long COVID. That's according to a two-year clinical trial out of Stanford. KQED's Keith Mizuguchi reports.
Researchers gave a 15-day course of Paxlovid to participants. That's three times longer than what's normally prescribed for people with acute COVID. The hope was that the extended period would help relieve symptoms for long COVID patients. Dr. Upinder Singh was one of the lead researchers.
To me, the study shouldn't be seen as Paxlovid doesn't work. It should be seen as saying, in this early small study, a large benefit was not seen in a patient population that had had symptoms for a long time and that was largely vaccinated.
Singh notes that Paxlovid could still reduce long COVID symptoms in some people. There's still no FDA-approved treatments for long COVID. I'm Keith Mizuguchi, KQED News.
Tioga Road, which connects Yosemite National Park with the Eastern Sierra, is set to open to vehicle traffic on Monday. The road, also known as Highway 120, closes every fall and is reopened the following year when crews clear it of snow. And as a special treat for cyclists, the road will be open to bikes only tomorrow. Although the road is open, a reservation is required to drive into or through Yosemite on some days through mid-October. I'm Azul Dahlstrom-Ekman, KQED News.
Support comes from Paint Care. Leftover paint can be dropped off and recycled at nearly 800 sites in California. PaintCare.org. And support for NPR comes from the Walton Family Foundation, working to create access to opportunity for people and communities by tackling tough social and environmental problems. More information is at waltonfamilyfoundation.org. And by the listeners of KQED. It's 4:06 now.
Creative reporting in PRX. This is Reveal. I'm Al Letson. Today, we're talking about something so essential to daily living that for this man, it's more precious than gold.
Gold is worth quite a bit. Water's worth more than gold if you don't have it.
Wayne Wade is a retired industrial electrician. He's worked in mines, gas plants, and oil fields. And after his kids grew up, he and his wife settled in La Paz County, Western Arizona. They fell in love with the desert.
You have to be here year-round to see the seasons, and when the plants bloom, it's just something you don't get anyplace else.
But then the water level in their well started dropping each year, forcing them to go deeper into the earth. It was expensive, tens of thousands of dollars. At the same time, industrial megafarms were moving into their community and growing crops to send overseas.
I was raised on a farm. I'm not against farming, but we need to take care of it too. You know, it needs to be taken care of in the right way.
Wayne is referring to the water. Like much of Arizona, La Paz gets very little rain, but the county does sit on top of an enormous ancient aquifer. And these farms were pumping up huge amounts of that groundwater.
If the water leaves, I think the people will leave.
Ultimately, Wayne and his wife did leave La Paz County along with others forced out as their wells went dry.
You just take and take and take, and pretty soon there's anything to take.
Wayne's way of life collided with the global scramble for water, and for the past decade, Reveal reporter Nate Halvorsen has been collecting stories like his in Arizona and in countries in Asia, Africa, and South America. We first aired this hour a year ago, and we're bringing it back because Nate's reporting has come together in our new documentary called The Grab, directed by Gabriella Cowperthwaite. So Nate, tell us a little bit more about the film.
Well, Al, the film is about covert efforts by governments, corporations, even mercenaries to control the most vital resource on the planet and how all of that is disrupting the lives of millions of people. And we follow some of these people as they battle for control of their water and their future.
One of the many things I love about this film is about how people in Arizona are fighting back. People like Wayne Wade, who are outraged that foreign mega farms are draining desert water and then using it to grow crops that get shipped overseas.
Yeah, people are pushing back because more and more they're seeing these big companies and powerful interests grabbing their water. And remember, like 70% of the water we use as humans goes to growing food. So the question is, for places that are running short on enough water to grow their food, where do they get it from? And then I guess the flip side of that coin is, when there are shortages, prices can go way up. And that means people are chasing not just water, but also potentially big profits, trying to make money off of those shortages. And a lot of this has been happening in the shadows. You know, like the people who are investing in these farms, it'll surprise you. Believe me, it will not only surprise you, but it surprised some people who didn't even know they were investing in these farms, because a lot of this has been hidden away, at least until we dug into it.
It's a crucial part of the story, and it's what you're about to hear. But first, to better understand what's going on in Arizona, we need to rewind a little bit. We need to go back about 10 years to Nate's first journey to the desert. He was joined by Reveal's former producer and my good buddy, Ike Sriskandaraja. This is the moment they unearth what has become an international controversy.
I see white sands with some scrubby bushes in the desert. And I don't know, Ike, what is it, like 115 degrees right now? It is sweltering hot.
And just beyond that scrub grass is a gigantic hayfield. And just beyond that are rows and rows and rows of processed golden stacks of hay. Like an entire city of hay. How does this make sense?
We're driving with Charlie Havranek in his jacked-up GMC truck with huge tires. Charlie is a real estate agent, a farm consultant, and the kind of guy you want showing you around the desert.
Anybody want a bottle of water? I got cold water in that ice chest there.
We pull up in front of a farm outside Vicksburg, Arizona.
And you're looking at hundreds of thousands of tons of hay waiting for export.
It looks like the Fort Knox of stacked hay.
And all of that is going to be exported to Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia's largest dairy company, Al Murai, bought 15 square miles of land in the Arizona desert and converted it into hay fields. Let that sink in for a minute. A dairy based in one desert is growing hay halfway around the world in another desert. And they're able to do it because of groundwater. Lots of it. We pull over next to an electric groundwater pump.
That's the sound of that electric motor turning. It runs a turbine pump down below that lifts the water up.
It looks like an oversized fire hydrant sitting on top of a 12-inch metal pipe that goes straight down hundreds of feet to the aquifer below.
1,600 to 1,700 gallons a minute.
The pumps, which are scattered across the fields, are running night and day. So over the course of a year, in an area that normally only gets 5 inches of rain, they pump up 10 feet of water onto the land.
We are basically mining ancient water. This is water that was probably part of an ancient sea or seepage from rainstorms and accumulation of water over the eons of time. Very productive ground once you've got the water for it.
By buying the land instead of just purchasing the hay, Al Murai can better control its prices. And this is the most productive ground in the country for growing hay. Unlike in Iowa or Nebraska with their idle winters, in the Arizona desert, you can grow hay all year long, assuming you have the water.
Where we're at now is outside of any kind of groundwater pumping regulations, so they're able to pump as much as they can get.
Abby York is a land use expert at Arizona State University. She met us at Al Murai. I asked Abby if the groundwater here might run out one day.
There's definitely concern that within a 50 years, few decades, that water levels will have dropped significantly. So if you look at some of the policy reports from the state, that's what they're indicating.
That means within a generation or two, this part of Arizona could go dry. And the Saudis' hay operation just accelerates this problem. Arizona's groundwater law from 1980 limits pumping in big cities like Phoenix, but
In many rural areas, like La Paz County, water use is not regulated. And this is where Al Marai has moved in.
There's no way that we can change how they're using this land. If there were problems, it would be very difficult to stop. Yeah, so the decisions are wherever the corporate headquarters are, in this case, in another country.
If I'm understanding you correctly, the local land use here, the local decisions on how much water to use is actually being made in Riyadh.
Yeah, so, right.
We were really surprised by this, that in the middle of a drought, an executive halfway around the world is making decisions that might deplete the aquifers here.
We wondered if people were flipping out about this. So we went to Kirby's Country Market, just a few miles from the Saudi farm, and we asked locals if they cared that the Saudis were buying land here.
No, if whoever they could sell it to, I mean, they're welcome to sell it to whoever they want.
If I knew exactly where it's going, that could make a difference to me.
Would it make a difference if it was going to Saudi Arabia?
No, it wouldn't make any difference to me. If it was going to Saudi Arabia, that'd be fine.
No. Don't bother me then. They got to make money, and that's out there to make money. That's what they're for.
Are you at all concerned about water?
Well, I worry about losing the water, yeah, because the water table goes down every year, and we're afraid we're going to run out of water here one of these days.
Saudi Arabia knows what happens if you farm the desert too long. About 30 years ago, the Saudis began digging deep under the sand for something other than oil.
You bring in enough dollars and find enough water, and you'll grow the desert green until either the dollars become scarce or the water runs out.
That's Eli El-Haj. He's a former CEO of a major Saudi bank. He also wrote a critical report about Saudi Arabia's foray into agriculture. He called it Camels Don't Fly, Deserts Don't Bloom.
There is no magic in turning the desert green.
With the groundwater, Saudi Arabia became an agricultural powerhouse.
The Saudi desert became the sixth largest exporter of wheat in the world.
Eli says exporting crops like wheat and hay is the same thing as exporting water.
Agricultural goods are encapsulation of water, virtual water.
So why would a country with so little water become the world's sixth biggest exporter of wheat?
Well, it's crazy. And time really proved that it was an insane decision.
Saudi Arabia has nearly run out of groundwater, and dairy companies like Al Marai have been told to begin growing nearly all their hay in other places, like Sudan, Ethiopia, Argentina, and Arizona. All of it will get shipped back home to feed their dairy cows. We reached out to Al Marai and the Saudi government for comment on our story, but they declined.
Bottom line is that the current generation sucked the aquifers dry to deny future generations of their rightful endowment.
Saudi Arabia isn't the only one running low on water. Other countries like China and India are discovering they don't have enough farm water to meet growing demands either. And like the Saudis, they're looking overseas, putting increased strain on the world's water.
As Nate and I were driving away from the Saudi farm, we noticed another big farm along the road. The name of it? Al Dara.
It appears to be another Middle Eastern company has come out here and has started up a huge other hay operation.
We pulled in where we saw a line of semis all being filled with hay. So we climbed up to a truck driver's window to talk.
That makes it a lot easier for us.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, I never get to see inside.
This 18-wheeler was being loaded with 44,000 pounds of hay, and he told us it was going to a shipping port in California, and from there, on to China. We went inside the small office and met Nathan Melton, the farm's manager. Nathan has deep roots here. His family farmed in Arizona for generations, growing melons, cotton, and other crops.
You know, I'm not in the family business no more. This is all corporate farming now, and it's just different.
How long ago did the folks start leasing this land?
We've been here 2 years now.
And who do they lease it from?
It's IFC. It's a big corporation out of North Carolina.
Corporations are tapping into free and unregulated water supplies in rural counties like La Paz. and growing crops that are shipped halfway around the world.
You know, if we were going to say we were going to ship hay overseas back then, you would have laughed. But now it's what we do and makes money. You know, a lot's changed over the last 10, 15 years.
That story was from Nate Halverson and Ike Sriskandaraja. In a moment, Nate follows the money flowing into the International Farming Corporation. It's a billion-dollar investment firm with some surprising investors.
And then you start connecting the dots on some of this stuff and you start thinking, oh my God, I can't make this up.
That's coming up next on Reveal.
For Reveal comes from Odoo. Odoo is an all-in-one management platform built to help you control every aspect of your business from anywhere in the world. More information at odoo.com/reveal. That's odoo.com/reveal.
Support for KQED comes from Sierra Nevada Brewing Company. Still family-owned, operated, and argued over, listeners can explore their brews wherever fine beverages are sold and learn how trailblazing runs in the family by visiting sierranevada.com. The Asian Art Museum, Phoenix Kingdoms, The Last Splendor of China's Bronze Age, uses digital technologies to reimagine a culture buried by imperial history for centuries. Tickets at asianart.org. All Things Considered starts at 5.
American cowboys are synonymous with the Wild West. Dusty towns, desert plains, tumbleweeds. But a group of cowboys in Louisiana say that picture is incomplete.
Our culture, black culture and Creole culture in America, has redefined what it means to be a cowboy.
We tag along on a trail ride through rural Louisiana. Saddle up for All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Letson. Reveal's Nate Halverson has been investigating the global battle for water. Water we drink, water we use to grow crops, and water that in many parts of the world is disappearing. Like in Arizona, where in 2015, Nate found corporate mega farms were moving into the desert and pumping out massive amounts of water from the state's endangered aquifers to grow hay.
Nathan Halverson is the first reporter to break this story in the national press.
A dairy company based in a country known for its huge oil supplies is after something even more precious in Arizona, water.
There is no cost for the water being pumped from the wells or restrictions on how much they use.
Media coverage at the time was focused on Al Murai, the dairy company from Saudi Arabia that quickly became one of the biggest water users in the state. The people of La Paz County, where all this was happening, they were getting angry.
I know that there's areas that are being farmed now that were not farmland 2 years ago. Large tracts, miles and miles of green that wasn't there 2 years ago. How is that possible?
This tape is from a meeting in La Paz with members from the state's water department. The hall was packed and tense, with armed sheriff's deputies keeping close watch.
You're saying it's perfectly legal for these people to come in here, drain the aquifer, and the local people have to re-drill their wells that they've lived there for years?
We got to move on. But yes, it is. They're not breaking the law.
People told the officials more and more wells were running dry, and they were blaming the new mega farms. Holly Irwin, a county supervisor, tried to empathize and respond to what she was hearing.
I feel your pain. I want conservation measures put in place so we can all grow as a community, where you guys can stay here and so can they. But we need to do something and something's got to give.
This meeting was in 2017, and this week's show is tracing the surprising twists and turns of our story since then. As the reality of the situation sank in, it motivated Holly, a conservative Republican, to do something she'd never done before, take political action on an environmental issue, to protect the aquifers and save the rural way of life here in the desert. And in the process, she found out what's happening here goes way beyond Al Mirai. This is where Nate picks up the story.
Holly Irwin came to La Paz County about 30 years ago to raise a family.
We love the whole rural western, you know, atmosphere of Arizona, and enjoy the river and all of the outdoor activities that comes with it.
One of her favorites, off-roading with the family on four-wheelers through hundreds of miles of rocky trails. She's shown me videos.
You just have open desert, or we can take trails that'll take us through mountain passes and canyons and stuff like that. You can just, it's amazing. You can just keep going for miles.
Holly's been barreling over hills and through ditches since her dad bought her a mini bike at age 10. Today, it's just a way to let off steam.
Look at mama go.
That's my mama.
It's called decompressing from all of dealing with all of the stress with the water issues that we've had here in La Paz County.
Holly was elected county supervisor here in 2008. But ever since that Saudi Hay story came out, the water issue has consumed her working life. And she wants to take me out into the desert, not on her ATV, but in her government-issued SUV, so I can see what's been happening since our original story several years ago. At first, the desert doesn't look much different. It's still got its postcard beauty. But then abruptly, it all changes. To hay, specifically alfalfa hay.
Now we're back into the alfalfa, as you can see. It's all alfalfa. It's depressing. It really is.
This is the Saudi farm.
This is the Saudi farm. Wanted to take you by here so you could see how much it's changed.
The fields now cover far more land, and there's clusters of giant hay barns scattered for miles. Those didn't exist the first time I was here in 2015. Holy cow, these are hay trucks.
And look, they're all waiting in line to get in.
Those are semi-trucks that have two trailers behind them, and there are 30 of them. So that's like 60 semi-trailers just covered in hay.
I told you, right?
Arizona is now exporting nearly 100 times as much hay compared to a decade ago. Hay brings in a lot of money. It's one of the most valuable crops in the U.S. Arizona doesn't track hay exports or their impact on water, but some researchers at the University of Arizona did just that. And they estimate that in Arizona, the water used to grow exported hay is now equivalent to the water used by roughly a million people in Phoenix. As we drive on, you can see the impact. There's a little church whose well went dry, and a trailer park also with water problems. And then we pull over just next to some desert homes, just past one of the encroaching farm fields. So what's happening to people out here is domestic wells, these people that have retired out here.
Okay, so if you look out here, I know this family that live out here, mm-hmm. and they've had to replace their well twice.
Oh.
Not just once, but twice.
How much is that?
Anywhere from $25,000 to $35,000.
That's a lot for retirees.
It is. It's a lot.
Not even the government knows how much water is left in these aquifers. Holly keeps asking the state's water department to conduct a hydrologic study, but they keep ignoring her. And it's an important study because it's the only way to know for sure how much water is being used, how much is left, and how long until it goes kaput. La Paz County is not a wealthy community. The average individual income here is $26,000 a year. Many folks are retirees from working-class jobs, and lots of residents live in mobile homes and trailer parks or out on the open desert. Holly says it's this lack of wealth that makes the community more vulnerable to having its groundwater grabbed. She wanted to know when all of this got started and who was behind it. So she gets the idea to start digging into dusty old county records in search of answers. And she leads me into her office to show me. Holly, this is so many boxes and so many documents. This is a gold mine.
I had to go back to what we call it the dungeon, but you know, where we keep historical boxes and documents and stuff like that.
The dungeon.
The dungeon, and pulled boxes. And I went back to the creation of our county.
Wow, when was that?
That was in 1982, of which I fully believe that we were created for that sole purpose.
What purpose?
For water.
La Paz has been known as a place to mine not gold or oil, but water. And in the past, it was the big cities coming here for the water. It's an old story, going back nearly 40 years. That's when Phoenix comes calling, in 1986. The city purchased about 20 square miles of farmland so that they could have access to the water below. Phoenix wanted it as a backup water supply for the future, and its plan was to eventually pump up the water and transfer it through a canal to the city.
You start watching City of Phoenix buy property, Scottsdale buy property, and you have cities buying property solely for the purpose of water.
These deals were controversial at the time because rural communities like La Paz felt their water was being grabbed by the big cities. But at the end of the day, this was water destined to stay in the state as a public water supply. That changes in 2012 when Phoenix does an about-face and sells its own backup water. It says it doesn't need the groundwater anymore and it will be too expensive to transport. Here's the thing that I find striking. Back in the 80s, people recognized literally the time right now when they're going to need the water.
Right.
And that was almost 40 years ago. Yeah. It's like they were psychic. But somewhere along the way, they lost track that they wanted this water for the people of Arizona, and they started selling it.
Right.
This is where the International Farming Corporation enters the picture. Remember, IFC is that multi-billion dollar investment company we heard about earlier. IFC buys the land from the city of Phoenix. Then it gets to work drilling bigger, deeper wells to tap into all that precious groundwater, so it can then lease some of the land to the farming company Aldara. Now, stay with me here. This isn't the Saudi-owned farm. This is the other big hay producer in La Paz County, Aldara from the United Arab Emirates. What this all means is that Phoenix's once public water supply is no longer staying in Arizona. It's being shipped overseas in the form of hay. I want to hear firsthand what this all means for the residents living next to the IFC farm.
Hey, Mary.
So I go visit Mary Goodman. Okay. Mary moved out here about 25 years ago after retiring from her nursing job in the Los Angeles area.
This is a triple wide, and we put it in 2005, did all the work ourselves.
Mary and her husband, Bill, came out to the desert because it was beautiful. And because, like for a lot of people, this is a place where you can afford to live on your pensions and savings. This mobile home in the desert, it was their dream retirement.
We've put our money, our lives, our sweat and blood. So we've got everything the way we want it. He has a nice workshop and I've got my plants. It's our life.
It's their life, but the water table is dropping every year. Some of their neighbors' wells have already gone dry. And IFC, it just keeps drilling deeper. Now it's down to 1,500 feet.
If you had to drill your well 1,000 or 1,500 feet, could you all afford to?
No way. Not at $30 a foot. We couldn't afford it.
It's a race for the water, and they can't keep up. Mary worries that their well could run out of water before, well, before they die.
I'm 75, and my husband's 12 years older than I am. You know, it's like we're getting up towards the end of stuff here, folks. I just get really nervous. Do we just stay here and maybe take comfort and we'll be dead before we run out of water? Because we can't live here without water.
In 2022, a state test near the Goodmans found the water was dropping about 5 feet per year. And at that rate, the Goodmans might only have another 10 years of water in their well. And they say nobody from the state is out here helping folks as their wells go dry.
We're kind of the ugly redheaded stepchild out here, maybe. Nobody seems to care. You feel powerless. I mean, you live in a place where they can give your water away.
Mary's hit on an important point. What's happening here goes way deeper than corporate mega farms. It's about the Arizona water policies that attracted these companies in the first place. So I go to Arizona State University to see a lawyer named Sarah Porter.
I'm Sarah Porter, director of the Kyle Center for Water Policy at ASU's Morrison Institute for Public Policy.
Sarah and I talk nitty-gritty about the Arizona Groundwater Management Act. It's legislation from the 1980s that governs much of what happens with Arizona's water today. It was a fight to get the law passed. Cities, agriculture, and mining companies were all competing for what they wanted it to say. Ultimately, groundwater ends up being regulated in urban areas like Phoenix, but not in rural areas like La Paz. They essentially remain free-for-alls. This lack of regulation created a business opportunity for farm investors to come in from around the world.
I have a newspaper ad that I clipped, and it's a color ad, and it says, water problems? Come to Arizona. We have unregulated water.
Yeah.
Sarah now sits on Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs' Water Policy Council, which was created in 2023 to tackle the issues of groundwater in rural areas. She says if state lawmakers aren't going to rein this in, they should at least be upfront about what's happening.
If it's going to be the policy of the state to allow landowners to mine out all of the groundwater in an aquifer, then we should also talk about having better public consumer protections. We need to make sure that people don't buy, invest their treasure in their own little acreage and then discover that a giant industrial-scale agricultural operation has moved in next door and is going to be causing their wells to go dry.
But that's already happening in places like La Paz.
I also think we have to live with the possibility that it may be the choice of some rural areas to simply manage their groundwater in a way that I think we could call unsustainable and use up all the water in their aquifers. That may be the will of some rural areas.
I talked to like supervisors in those counties like Holly Irwin.
Yeah.
And she says she doesn't have the power to stop people from pumping her water.
So she doesn't. And one of the big problems is that once the big water user is there, it is much, much harder to solve the problem.
So what happens to people in La Paz County?
The reality is that the water demand is the water demand.
So the people's wells are going to go dry and that's the future?
It could be. Yeah, that's the reality. We're really talking about an existential situation for some of those places.
Existential meaning like they're going to lose their well and they're going to lose their life
water,
savings.
No water, no town.
The people in La Paz, do you envision they're going to get compensated when the value of their...
No, I don't think so.
They're just going to lose their life savings and that's that?
Yeah, or whatever they wind up doing. You know, maybe someone will discover an ore body where they are. I don't know. A groundwater supply in an unregulated rural area of Arizona is a low-value water supply.
So that's buyer beware.
That's really what we live with. It's buyer beware. But let's keep everything in proportion. I don't know what the population of La Paz County is off the top of my head, but is it like 30,000?
La Paz is less than that, 16,000 people.
You know, part of public journalism is standing up for the folks that don't have the power.
Yeah, yeah.
And I hear what you're saying, that it is a small percentage of the population.
Yeah,
but for those folks, it's
going to
hurt.
It doesn't diminish their experience that there aren't very many of them. They never should have relied on that water. It's not their fault that they did, but they were relying on a water supply that they didn't have a right to.
You're going to tell me that they don't have a right to have water in their homes? Families have invested over generations to be here. It makes me angry, extremely angry.
I've come back to meet with Holly at her office in La Paz. She's frustrated by the idea that this is just the way it is, and also by the inability of Arizona's lawmakers to protect water. What she wants is the state to determine how much water is left in the aquifers and give her some local control to monitor and set limits if necessary. She thinks this is the only way to slow the global scramble for water and the profit-driven water market it's created.
You're literally fighting money. That's what you're doing. You're fighting the rich people.
And Holly isn't just fighting rich corporations. In my reporting, I uncovered something startling. The Arizona government itself is investing in these mega farms in the western United States. I found that the Arizona State Retirement System gave $175 million to the International Farming Corporation, which then used some of the money for the mega farm in La Paz County. This raises a key question. How much did the state know about exactly where its investment money was going?
I'm wondering if we can go over to the county recorder's office, because people have to file deeds of trusts. If there's like a mortgage or, you know, who gave them the money to buy the land.
I mean, we can walk over there if you want and see.
So we head over to the recorder's office where land sales and mortgage records are kept.
Here is our recorder's office.
Hi. Is there a way that we could look up an LLC?
Yes.
We find a computer terminal and start searching. At first, it looks like a bust.
Yeah, Holly, this is kind of looking like a dead end. I can't, we can see that the year that they bought it, uh-huh. which is what we knew.
Right.
And they bought it from the city of Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, easements and sort of, you know, mechanical stuff, but there's nothing in all of these records, and there's 56 documents.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but there's nothing that shows. Wait a minute. What's this? Arizona State.
Pull that up.
Isn't that your pension
yes.
fund?
Yes.
Holly and I are seeing this document for the first time. It shows that state retirement fund managers knew specifically that part of their investment in IFC would be used for the mega farm here in La Paz, the one that's next to the Goodmans' home. The document even says that if IFC were to ever sell its land in La Paz, the retirement system wanted the right to make the first offer to buy it. And it was all about making money.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Wow. That's wild. I don't know why our state retirement would have any part of any land deal.
Your pension fund is the money behind this massive deal that bought the Phoenix of Arizona's backup water supply and is now shipping it overseas in the form of hay.
Holly and I leave the recorder's office, and I tell her I'm going to Phoenix to see if I can get answers from state officials about why any of this makes sense.
Is there anything you really want me to try to dig out and you really want to know?
I want to know why they're investing our pensions, money that we've worked hard for, only to have companies utilize the water and shipping it overseas.
How does that make you feel?
It makes me angry. It's unbelievable that the state can do that with our retirement fund. You know, I've been fighting for years to keep the water here, and it's just frustrating everywhere you look around. You know that this water is being depleted and alfalfa is being shipped overseas.
When we come back, Nate's discovery of those pension fund investments triggers a sharp response from Arizona's top law enforcement officer.
It is bonkers, right? If it was a movie, you wouldn't believe it.
Next on Reveal.
Support for KQED comes from Hassler Heating and AC, advancing California's electric initiatives by converting homes to heat pump technology. For installation or repair of heating and cooling equipment, visit HasslerHeating.com. Xfinity, with their Wi-Fi Boost Pod in-home wall-to-wall Wi-Fi, offers coverage throughout the home. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary. Civil rights leaders Art Johnston and Pepe Peña are a force behind LGBTQ plus equality through their iconic gay bar in Chicago. You can catch the story of the long struggle for equality and their fight to love freely in a new Pride Month special of Art and Pep, Monday night at 9 on KQED 9. Stay with us, All Things Considered, coming up at 5.
From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Letson. For nearly a decade, our reporter, Nate Halverson, has been investigating efforts by governments and corporations around the globe to grab control of water resources. It's all part of a new documentary aptly called The Grab. In Western Arizona, Nate found corporate mega farms were threatening local water supplies and figured out they were being financed by an East Coast investment firm, the International Farming Corporation. He discovered that one of IFC's biggest investors was the state of Arizona's own retirement system. So about this time last year, Nate went to Phoenix to try and get answers from the state attorney general's office.
Hi. How are you? You must be Nate.
Yeah, Chris, thanks for taking the time.
I meet Chris Mays at her office in downtown Phoenix. The walls are lined with photos and mementos from her career as a newspaper reporter and attorney. In 2022, Mays, a Democrat, narrowly won election as the state's top law enforcement officer. Her campaign was about voting rights, public safety, and water.
If there's one thing Arizona depends on, it's water. That's why I was outraged when I heard that Arizona is giving our water to a Saudi Arabian-owned farm to grow crops for export back to the Middle East for free.
Mays tells me she used the mega farm owned by the Saudi Arabian company in her election campaign to highlight the absurdities of state water policies.
This is a story at bottom about the neglect and negligence of state government over a number of years. That's why so many Arizonans say, are you kidding me? Why are we allowing a Saudi-owned corporation to stick a straw in the ground and suck so much of our water out and send alfalfa back to Saudi Arabia and not charge them a dime for the water? It is bonkers. If it was a movie, you wouldn't believe it.
The water crisis and how it's impacting rural communities touches Mays at a personal level.
I grew up in Western Arizona. My family and I would often go to a place called the Santa Maria River, which is barely a river anymore because of drought and climate change. But I love Western Arizona.
I pull out some of the documents I've uncovered about who's funding IFC.
Don't know what you found, but knowing you, you found something.
If you look here on page 77 of the report, I was able to definitively show that state pension fund money went into lands being leased by another Middle Eastern company that's shipping, growing the alfalfa and shipping it overseas to China, the Middle East, anywhere, presumably that'll pay top dollar for it.
Is this the Emirati farm? Oh my God.
And so that is...
Can I have a pen?
Mays squints her eyes and starts taking notes. This isn't the Saudi-owned farm that she campaigned against. This is the farm company from the United Arab Emirates.
The Emirati farm is actually state pension fund money.
State pension fund money?
So all of you are presumably pension fund.
Correct. We're all in that pension fund. Yes. As individuals, every state employee is. Yeah.
So the state employee money has gone into exporting the state's water.
I think Arizonans are going to be outraged about this. It just exacerbates an already terrible situation and shows again the abject failure of our government to protect our people and to protect our future. As an Arizonan and as the Attorney General, this is obviously really shocking and hard to believe, but in a way, maybe not, given what's going on in the past.
I ask Mays if it's a conflict of interest that state employees who are in charge of managing the aquifers are also financially benefiting from letting IFC pump as much water as it wants in La Paz County.
That's a tough one. I think I'll not comment on that because I really need to think it through and we really need to get to the bottom of it. And obviously your reporting is going to kickstart that process.
Mays tells me the state can't keep making these mistakes with its water.
Water is, in Arizona, is life. Our very survival as a state depends on our doing better when it comes to water.
I share with Mays the doomsday scenario for La Paz that I'd heard from Sarah Porter of the Governor's Water Council.
The farms are there. There's nothing that we can do about it. And the people who live out there, yes, they're going to lose their wells and their home value because there's no value in their home once they lose their wells. And that's what it is.
I'm sorry. No, that's not the case. In many cases, these communities well predate these farms. As a state, we have to act with urgency because people are actively being harmed. There are farmers, small farmers and cattle ranchers whose wells have gone dry. There's a trailer park that apparently has had its well go dry. And all because of the deep water farming that's going on in this area, and that's just not okay.
What can you do about it as Attorney General?
Well, I'm attacking it from pretty much every angle that I can within the boundaries of my authority.
Mays has tried to stop the Saudi-owned farm from expanding, but so far, she's only managed to revoke two well permits because of improper paperwork. She's also called on the state's water agency to fulfill its mandate and assess how much water is left in rural aquifers. They still haven't done it.
You know Holly Irwin, the county supervisor.
Yes, very well, yes.
Holly's been asking for that hydrologic study for 8 years since the Saudi story came out.
It is outrageous. It is begging for a hydrological study. I mean, this is one of the greatest scandals in the history of Arizona.
Mays says lawmakers need to pass legislation to reform the state's water laws. And if they don't, she's even proposing going around them.
We have an obligation to protect all Arizonans, whether it's a ballot initiative in the next year or two, or it's a lawsuit by me. We are going to get this done.
It doesn't matter what you are. You should be able to work the issue and leave the politics behind you and get to some solutions.
Holly Irwin, the Republican County Supervisor from La Paz, has forged close ties with Chris Mays and other powerful Democrats. Mays calls her the Aaron Brockovich of water in Arizona. That growing bipartisanship gives Holly some hope that her desert community can survive.
It's an emotional roller coaster. Some days you want to give up. Some days I cry, you know, and just to turn around and to get up and fight another day. I hate being told no. I mean, that's one of my biggest things is I hate being told there's no solution.
In her quest to save her community, Holly Irwin challenged some powerful players, lawmakers, lobbyists, and corporate executives who've been fighting against regulating water in rural areas, saying it would be bad for business. It was a classic David versus Goliath. And in the past year, the David in this story has scored some wins. So I asked Nate to come into the studio and catch us up. Hey, Nate.
Hey, Al.
So tell me what's happened.
Well, right after we published that story, Arizona's Governor Katie Hobbs got asked about our investigation, you know, the state pension fund's investment in those mega farms.
Were you aware that the pension fund makes that kind of investment?
I was not.
Did that trouble you?
Yes. So these are the kinds of things that maybe haven't been as closely examined before by administration, and certainly things that we want to make sure we're aware of and making smarter decisions for Arizona.
And then a few months later, the governor takes this really major step.
The governor announced today that Arizona is terminating its lease with a Middle Eastern-owned farm operating in La Paz County, about 90 minutes west of Phoenix.
That is major. Which leases did she cancel? Are those the farms in Holly's area?
It's a complex situation because the governor was able to shut down some farmland run by the Saudi company in Holly's County, but, you know, only on state land. This was land that the farm leased from the state. But much of the farmland near Holly is actually privately owned, and that is way harder to throttle back. You know, that said, ending those leases was still a big deal. Because we're talking about 5 square miles of farmland that got shut down. It made international news, and I guess it also showed that the state of Arizona is willing to take action against some powerful interests.
So is this going to be enough to save Holly's community?
I mean, the short answer is no. The longer answer is a bit of a jaw dropper, actually, because, you know, after we first broke this story several years ago, the head of Arizona's water department literally said our reporting was making, quote, hay and overstating the problem. He actually went so far as to assure the public that Hawley's area had at least a 100-year water supply, despite the newly arrived mega farms. Well, in December, under pressure from lawmakers, his agency revised those numbers. They now say that nearly half the wells in the area will be dry within only 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's assuming the farms don't get bigger, which they're still legally allowed to do. The report says that if that happens, the area has way less than 25 years. It'll be closer to 10 years until all those wells have no water left.
That's pretty serious. Is there anything else the state can do to try and save this water supply?
Well, Attorney General Chris Mays has launched an investigation into the damages that are being caused by big corporate farms. And a few months ago, Mays met with a group of residents in La Paz County, and in response to a question, she even hinted that she might file a lawsuit against the mega farms. Here's what she was asked.
Are you looking at possible reparations for people's foundations sinking, cracking, all these things? That's the immediate threat we're going to feel before we run out of water if we don't do anything.
I mean, those are the kinds of things that I would think about putting into a lawsuit. And those are the kinds of things, for those of you who've been contacted by my investigators, we've asked about cracking in homes, fissures that you've seen, dewatered wells, physical impacts associated with deep water wells, and financial harm to you.
So these are sizable developments. What about the state pension fund?
So far, the state hasn't taken any action on the pension fund itself, and the top fund managers declined interview requests, but they have said the fund plans to cash out its stake in the farm. You know, on the other hand, that was always its plan, to hold the investment for a while, make some money, and then sell it. So it's not clear if this announced sale was from political pressure or, you know, just business as usual for the pension fund managers.
So you've got all this money coming into Arizona chasing profits, essentially for precious water supplies, and it's local people that are paying the price. And that seems to be the theme that's captured in your new documentary, The Grab.
Yeah, that's right, Al. I mean, look, the powerful have their eyes set on controlling the most vital resources on the planet. That's food and water. And we capture that in the film. The thing is, when everyday people finally realize what's happening, conflict can erupt, sometimes even violent and deadly conflict. We even show how some countries are beginning to conduct war games based on food and water conflicts. Of course, the other side of that is that the Hawley Irwins of the world are beginning to win some of these battles.
Nate, thanks so much for this work. It's so important.
Hey, thanks so much, Al.
That was Reveal's Nate Halverson. To learn more about The Grab, go to our website, revealnews.org. You can check out the film in theaters around the U.S. beginning June 14th, and that's just around the corner. And you can also find it on streaming platforms. Michael Montgomery was the lead producer for this week's show. He had help from Ike Srikandaraja. Cynthia Rodriguez was the editor. Special thanks to Gabriella Cowperthwaite, Joe Bill Munoz, Mallory Newman, Amanda Pike, David Richer, Emma Schwartz, Yinwo Shi, Deborah Sousa Silva, Jonathan Ingles, Davis Kuhn, and to Impact Partners. Nikki Frick is our fact checker. Victoria Baranetsky is our general counsel. Our production managers are the Wonder Twins, Zulema Cobb and Steven, my brother from another mother, Rascon. Score and sound designed by the dynamic duo, Jay Breezy, Mr. Jim Briggs, and Fernando, my man, Yo Aruda. Our post-production team this week also includes Claire C. Note Mullen. Our interim executive producers are Taki Telenidis and Brett Myers. Our theme music is by Camarado, Lightning. Support for Reveals provided by the Reva and David Logan Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, the Jonathan Logan Family Foundation, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, the Park Foundation, and the Hellman Foundation. Reveal is a co-production of the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX. And one last thing. Next week's show kicks off our three-part series, 40 Acres and a Lie. It sheds new light on a pivotal period in history that came after the Civil War. It's a moment in time that I thought I understood, but really didn't. I think you'll be surprised, too. I hope you'll listen. I'm Al Letson, and remember, there is always more to the story.